Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Even if you've never heard of the social psychologist by the name of Henry Teufel, I think you've already likely experienced one of his findings. You see, this psychologist, Henry Teufel, came up with the theory of social identity theory. And in it, he basically says there's two different groups of people. There is the in-group and the out-group. We love being a part of the in-group where all of our comfort is, we find security in it, but we don't like when we feel in the out-group, when we're left out and no one's there. So what does this mean for us today? As we wrestle with this question in our text of our identity, of being a saint and a sinner at the same time, about where we find our securities and where we find our identity in. Our text in Genesis this morning helps us recognize those people that have been excluded and in the out-group. And instead, it challenges us to remain content with the relationship we have with our Creator. We see then that we are no longer insecure, but that our identity is found in Christ. We read from Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Here ends our text. Part of Genesis, we see the focus not so much on the uniqueness of these group of people, but rather how united they were. We don't see the stories of person A or person B. There doesn't seem to be much of a dynamic in this text. But rather what's kind of shocking is that these people seem to mesh very well together. Now maybe for some of you students, if I say the two words group project, it doesn't have that much of appeal. Maybe some memories, some bad memories of failures and doing so much of the work on your own. But that wasn't the case with this group of people. Rather, they were committed to working together. Everyone was doing their part to making this social bubble of theirs a success. And so you can picture maybe a construction zone scene, likely with a project manager, with logistics, with a whole workflow. This wasn't some chaos. These people weren't committing sins and stealing and hurting others, but they were working so well together. So what was wrong with what they were doing? Well, clearly, it wasn't a building problem. It wasn't a group communication problem, but it was a heart problem. And so we see in our text that someone comes to the group from outside of the group and changes everything, and he bursts that bubble of theirs. We're told that God comes down and he confuses the language of the people. He actually goes down to investigate it, and he's not happy with them, and so he confuses their language. And so, from our perspective, it could seem, what was the problem there? Well, the problem was that these people had put their identity into themselves. They had excluded that one person that was the most important person from their group, and instead wanted to make themselves great. They wanted to make their own name for themselves, to not be content with the peace that they had with the relationship with God. They weren't content with being able to praise him daily, to worship him, to have them as their father and creator that loves them. But they wanted someone else. They wanted something else to fill that void of their anxieties, to put their securities in something else. So what about for you and me? What are those in-groups and out-groups that we recognize today? Maybe we have some more on the humorous side. We've got the Vikings fans versus the Packers fans. We've got those people that say that pop music is the best and those that only want to hear country. But what about some of those more serious differences? We see that maybe you have that person in your life that you sort of have a surface-level relationship with, that you greet and say hello when you have to run into them, but your heart really doesn't care much about them, that you dislike every time that you have to say something, acknowledge them. Maybe you're the guy that struggles with rejection, and you try to be nice, and you try to reach out, but after being rejected, you give up, and you turn to pornography and other things that you know you shouldn't, and now you feel like you've gone too far, that God could never love you and forgive you, that you could never be the Christian that you once were, that you're in that out-group. Or maybe you're the girl that struggles with fitting in. Maybe you feel all alone and that no one is there to accept you, that you've done things to yourself, you've starved yourself just to try to make others like you, and you just feel so left out and depressed at times. We see that we have so many struggles in our day-to-day lives. There's so many tensions going on, but thanks be to God, because he takes away all of our insecurities, and he points us to him. He reminds us that Jesus has taken away all of our sins, all of our insecurities and anxieties. He's taken them away, and that he's died for them on the cross. That it's no longer about our name, about how many things that we have done for others. It's about Jesus. It's about what he's done for you, how much he's loved you and taken you in. For all those times that you felt like your innocence has been gone, that you feel like no one could ever love you, Jesus is right there, sitting next to you. Because he reminds you that it really isn't about you. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been through, but what he has done for you. And so God takes away the us versus them mentality and instead gives us a new light. God makes us his own through a number of ways. Through our baptism, we take on that new identity. And that's not just something that we once did, but it's a daily thing that we return to. God says that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. When we celebrate communion, not only are we communing with the Lord Jesus, with his body and blood, but we're communing with everybody else. Whenever we confess to one another and receive forgiveness, God promises to be with us. And so God takes that us versus them, that us versus God mentality, and erases it so that it is us plus them. It is us plus God. And so God instills in us a compassion to want to spread his name, to want to use our gifts to help others that may be feeling like they have been left out, outside of Christianity and outside of God's grace. He gives us compassion to recognize those people that we see that are sitting alone, that maybe we would so often pass before. And he reminds us that they're just as important. So as Christians, we now have the freedom to be able to serve. We don't have to ground our identity in something that we've built into whatever Tower of Babel we have in our life. But rather, we can build it on God's church, around the fellow body of believers that we have with us. And maybe if we do that, we can actually dream small. Maybe some of you have heard of the singer-songwriter Josh Wilson. And he has a song recently called Dream Small. And in it, he kind of talks about how so often in colleges and other settings, we want to have big dreams. And it's okay to have some great dreams. But he reminds us that let's not lose sight of the here and now. Let's not underestimate the difference that reaching out to just one person just once a day could affect. In it, he has a line, "Don't bother like you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time." So what if we then changed our approach to how we use our lives and our gifts, to the things that we share and post, to the way we talk about others, so that others maybe not don't always recognize us, they don't, maybe not don't always remember what our name was or what we've done, but that they would see Jesus through us. I think we would be very blessed. So I want to challenge you today. Just think of one person that's been outside of your social bubble. Maybe that's just was saying a kind word to them. Maybe it's sitting next to that person that you see alone. Maybe it's reaching out and cheering on that fellow peer at that recital or that sports game. Whatever it is, I think that there will be a great result with that. So Henry Teufel may have come up with social identity theory to say that there is these two different kinds of groups, the in-group and the out-group. But I would suggest that we have something far greater. We have a Savior, Jesus, who has bridged that gap, that us versus them, and has given us a new identity. He has taken away the insecurities of not belonging and being overwhelmed. And he has made us his own. And so we have a God that unconditionally loves us. His overabundant grace and love is always there for us so that we are never alone. So we are no longer insecure. Christ gives us a new identity. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for being a loving, gracious Father to us. We thank you that you have not left us outside of your group, but that your mercies are new every morning, that you are our Creator. We remember and repent of all the times that we have not been so kind, that we have excluded others, and even you, our Creator, from our inward groups. And so we ask, God, that you would open our eyes to see your example, that we would not view others as us against us or beneath us, but that we would have compassion on them, that we would have a heart of forgiveness to them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.